Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Kool-Aids, and welcome to Barca Talk. I'm your host, Remy Dixon. Today, we're going to talk a bit about the Alaves game and where we stand as a team going into the international break. We're also going to get into Xavi, his managerial style and tactics, and how we as fans deal with where this team currently is. But before we get into that, I wanted to extend an invitation to everyone listening out there to join our virtual Peña at this Patreon group. I've been a member of a Peña for 6 years now. In fact, I'm vice president of the San Francisco Peña. When I first moved here, didn't have people to watch the games within, found this Peña, and it's been absolutely amazing. There's nothing better than talking about the game, watching the games with people who share the same passion for Barca as you do. For those who don't have a physical Peña around them, or for those who want a group of like-minded individuals with different backgrounds and expertises that love Barca and can share thoughts with you, this is the place to be. For $5 a month, you can join our Patreon group and support the podcast, but also just share your passion with those who love Barca as much as you do, in good times and in bad.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Last weekend, we played Alaves. We won 2-1. They scored in literally the first couple of seconds of the game. And we played very, very badly from then on. There was a great header by Lewandowski. We got the PK, his second goal, and that won us the game. But for large parts of that game, we were woeful. I mean, just bad. For the first half, it seemed like our game plan was to cross the ball from the left to the right for Lamine to get the head on the ball, which just doesn't make sense. I mean, that was just how out of ideas we were, that there were at least 2 to 3 occasions where João Felix crossed the ball to the back post to Lamine, who was just never going to get to it, right? He was double teamed on his side whenever he got the ball and had no support for the majority of the game. I mean, the lineup was wild. We played 3 in the back: Inigo Martinez, Jokunde, Araujo, and Cancelo was playing in the midfield on the left side. Very questionable. No Balde. It was just weird, and it was so unbalanced, and it was very clear. I mean, don't get me wrong. Koundé had a bad game, but none of these players were set up for success in the first parts of that game. And although we pulled it back and won it, there was nothing about that game that I felt personally happy about. There was nothing about that game that I felt personally excited about down the line. And when I say down the line, I mean the next couple of games, right? Like, that wasn't a game that felt like, ooh, we've hit a win, we've won with a strong mentality, and we're going to move forward winning like this from henceforth, right? That's not where I'm thinking with this game. I really don't know what to take from that game, but, you know, I'm not going to try to focus on that today, right? Like, we all saw the game. We all know what happened. If you haven't seen the game, you've probably seen the highlights. You've probably heard people talking about it. So it's not, for me, my biggest concerns right now really come down to Xavi. And I've said this before. I said this last time I was up here. I think a lot of people are starting to talk about it now. But the thing I want to focus on today isn't even per se just the tactics, right? Like, he's new, he's young, he's growing, or we think he's growing. And, you know, for where he's at, mistakes are going to be made. We can accept that, right? But the thing that gives me the biggest concern with Xavi right now is how he seems to respond post games, and how that affects how he responds in games, right? So I don't know if you all have noticed it, but Xavi has a couple of things that he likes to say post games if they weren't great games. First one is, we suffered, right? Like, so many different times Xavi likes to say we suffered, especially when we win 1-0 and there was a lot of pressure on us and things like that. It's, we suffered. The second, he tends to blame the refs. Like, don't get me wrong, sometimes the refs have bad games. I'm not saying they are infallible by any means. I'm typically a person to say, you know, the refs messed up on this one. It becomes a problem when it seems like that happens too often. And then the last one was, you know, with this game, Xavi comes out and says the media conversations and pressures are affecting the players mentally. And this one was just really touched a nerve with me in a lot of ways, because I feel like the headline post these games is never Xavi saying, hey, you know what? That was on me. I set the team up wrong. That was on me. I didn't make the right substitutions. That was on me. I'm going to learn from this and we're going to come back different. And I think that's the biggest thing that bothers me right now. You know, it could be said that it's a PR thing or blah, 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 whatever, but there's something to be said about taking accountability and then adjusting as you move forward. And my biggest fear is I don't see Xavi taking accountability publicly. And I'm also not seeing the changes from week to week that would show an understanding and adjustment, right? Like, he's changing the formation. He's tinkering around with things, but the tinkering in a lot of ways doesn't often make sense. You know, we're inviting pressure on ourselves. We're, honestly, it feels like Xavi's only goal is to dominate the ball. And for him, that seems like a win. I mean, I said it after the Real Madrid game. You know, Xavi was like, we dominated the ball. But we've been dominating the ball for a while now. These last couple of games have been 60 to 70% possession. Shakhtar Donetsk, we had 62% possession, one shot on target. And it wasn't even a great one. You know, we are dominating. But that's it. We're not doing much else. And it's really questionable to me to see the team get set up in ways that are not helping the players play the best. You think about it, a lot of the conversation that's been happening recently has been about, is Lewandowski done? You know, soon it's going to be, is Yamal too young to be playing because he's not really producing the way we think he should? You know, nobody's really been talking about Gundogan as much as they probably should, but, you know, is Gundogan producing like he was? João Felix, like, it's convenient with João Felix because no manager's really gotten the best from him, but, you know, we're looking at these players so critically and thinking of them as the ones that are failing us, and Xavi's not taking the blame. He's not taking the pressure off his players. He's blaming a lot of other places, but who's making the subs? Who's making the lineups? You know, like, you're setting out these players in ways that is not going to help them succeed. And I think that's my other thing with Xavi. You know, I don't mind changing things, thinking around this and the other. But the problem becomes, are you getting the best out of your players? Are you helping your players succeed, right? Like, it's, you look around the different leagues and you see all these different managers, and there's some brilliant tacticians out there. They're brilliant man managers. This, that, left, right, center. And it's not to say that, oh, you just pull a manager off the shelf, pluck them in a system, they're going to be good and they're going to get the best out of your team. It's not how it works. There's no magic bullet to this. But there are managers that, regardless of if they have the best players, they know how to get the best out of those players. Leicester won the league with a team that many people thought were way below par with the other teams and players on those teams, right? Claudio Ranieri was able to get the best out of those players. Sometimes it's picking a system that gets the best out of those players. Sometimes it's giving the instructions to get the best out of the players. But overall, it's a manager's job to get the best out of the players. When we look at a player like Rafinha, you can easily say, oh, maybe he's just not world-class enough to be productive for this team. But a lot of managers rate him. A lot of people wanted him. He has the speed. He has the ability. Maybe he can do better with decision-making and passing, but that's growth. That's not per se that he's not world-class enough to be a good player. And Xavi is not getting the best out of him at all, right? You're looking at, again, Gundogan. Like, he just came from Man City, scored some of the most goals of his career in one season. All of a sudden, he just lost it this season? Like, that can't be the case. I think that's one of the interesting things I was saying last time about these outside players that come in from different managers, and we're seeing their skills just drop. And we're asking ourselves, oh, are they too old? Like, they might be old, but you don't forget how to play the game, right? Like, you don't forget how to, you don't go from scoring some of the most goals of your career to barely getting assists and or goals and or changing a game in any way in the course of a couple of months. So you have to start thinking, like, what is it that these players aren't playing at their best? What is it that's keeping these players from performing in the ways that they need to perform? There's just no other reasoning at this point than Xavi. I mean, are we saying that every single player on this team all of a sudden is just, like, not as good? You know, when, like, you look at Xavi and you look at when he's been really successful, and, you know, everybody knows where I stand on Dembele. I understand how a lot of people feel about him, but Lewandowski got more assist with him on the pitch. And I'm not saying it's just because it's Dembele, but I think it's because Xavi sets up his team to dominate possession. and then requires and relies on a single player to be chaos, to bring the brilliance, the attacking at defenders that everybody else isn't going to do, to upset the defense. And when you don't have those players, you have to adjust. And Xavi hasn't done that. You know, there isn't, realistically, when a defense is holding the low block, who do we have that's going to really upset that? Like, we talk about passing it around, having somebody to unlock the defense in that way by hitting that pass. Like, if the defense is basically playing at their 18, two lines basically at the 20 and their 18, like, you're not really getting behind that with one pass. You get behind that with one pass further up, you know, closer to the half. Like, if you have them pulled up and you have a player that's quick enough to get behind, you hit that ball early, they get behind. Now that defense is unbalanced. But we don't have that. And it's not because we're slow. It's just because we play slow. You know, it's you watch these games and, you know, a lot of people watch them in Spanish, and I don't know what the Spanish announcers are saying, but more and more the English announcers are starting to, I find myself agreeing with them, like, yeah, you're right. And I never used to do that because they were always wrong, but they're often very right these days. Like, when everybody's watching this Barca team, everybody, and going, this is, one, boring, two, they need to play faster, three, like, they're holding possession but doing nothing with it. Everybody's seeing it. Everybody's saying it. But Xavi seems to not be doing that. And his insistence on blaming all these outside forces and things is really disheartening. And you watch what's happening with ex-players coming out to his defense. Oh, Barca, you have to win beautifully. It doesn't matter if you win. Oh, if this was Real Madrid, a 2-1 or a 1-0 at the end would be celebrated. That narrative, I think, is just a very, like, Xavi's my friend. We love Xavi. I want him to feel better. I want you to get off his back. Realistically, as a fan, for me, as much as I want us to play pretty and win pretty, that's not really the big issue here. Like, if we were just winning, that's fine. But it's like, I don't even know. It's like, it's not attractive. It's not productive. It feels more lucky than it is, like, resilience. I mean, even to an extent, as much as we hate Real Madrid, you could say they're a resilient team, and in a lot of cases, they'll pull it out in the end when you think they wouldn't, and they do. And, I mean, that's resilience in some cases, and it's luck in others, very much in a lot of it. It's luck. But we hold the ball for 60% of the game, and then we managed to win by one goal because we only really created, like, two clear-cut chances, if that. Like, if you have more possession, you should be creating more chances. What that says is you just took the ball and you passed it back and forth and back and forth and side to side over and over for 60% of the game, and then we're supposed to sit here and be like, oh, well, we won by one goal. That's resilience. Against teams that are not Bayern or Man City? Like, what happens against Bayern or Man City? That's the big question. Like, what happens against a team that actively is going to not just attack, but also dominate possession? Like, if we don't have possession, what do we have? Right? Like, again, we can say it's, oh, Frankie, when Frankie comes back, there's no player that can change this single-handedly, because the system is the problem. And Xavi sets the system. It's sad that he doesn't seem to think that he has that much influence in games, evidenced by what he says when the games are done. I would like to see him take more accountability. I would like to see him then make those adjustments in the game. So that's my biggest concern right now. Like, all that other stuff, it is what it is. I would just, like, I know Xavi's not going anywhere. Deco just said it. He's already signed his contract. Like, we don't have the money to pay for another manager, I'm sure. And he won the league last year, right? But, like, this idea of, like, we need to lower our standards as fans because where he's going to be here, I totally get that. I completely get it. I would just hope that, given this, I would hope that he, for the next 2 years or however long he's here, this isn't the style of football. I'm hoping he evolves. I'm hoping things change. I don't know what specifically changed from last year, because things were looking okay last year. We still had an offensive problem, but we didn't have a defensive problem. And now we have both. So, I don't know. And I think that brings me to the last thing I want to talk about, which is this idea of, like, as fans right now, we might be facing a long period of these types of games, of these types of thoughts. And to be honest, like, I don't love coming up here and just being like talking about, you know, the negative things of this team and having these types of conversations. I don't like love talking about goals, love talking about progress. And that's the biggest thing, progress. Like, it feels like we're stagnant in ways that does not feel like it's going to change. And that's a tough place to be. I know there are other fan bases that are way worse off than we are. I mean, at least we're not Everton. We're not losing. We're not possibly going to be relegated. We're not fighting relegation battles, you know? And I would hope that this team, this badge, this pedigree would make a massive change if that were the case. But that's not where we are. And I think the sad thing is, because we're not there, that's probably going to be the issue, right? We're going to be top of the table, not winning, possibly ending up like we're going to end up in a Champions League spot. We're going to secure Champions League, but like probably get out of the group and then get bounced. Like, it doesn't feel like, without Xavi switching his mentality, it doesn't feel like we are going to really progress in any significant way in the next couple of years. That's without Xavi switching his mentality. I, you know, always have hope. But as fans, how do we address that? How do we deal with that? Like, is it that we love this team and just kind of throw our hands up and say, as long as we're not relegated, we are okay? Like, you know, what do we do? It's like this existential thing, because, like, I'm not going anywhere as a Barca fan. I'm going to love my team. I think it's cathartic to talk about these things and share these opinions, but after a while, if it's the same opinions, it's just like, ugh, like, why, you know? But yeah, I do think it's beneficial that we talk about these things as fans, because that's what these opinions are for, right? That's what we're here for. We can help each other through these times by talking about it and not letting the frustrations just boil over into, oh, well, I'm not going to watch the game this week because why? What's the point? Or anything like that, right? Like, I think we do have to start thinking about what our expectations are and start thinking about how we can not let these games get to us as much as they have until things start getting better. But yeah, I don't have the answer to this one. I don't have the answer to what we do as fans if this is what keeps happening. But I will say, watching the games with other fans, talking with other fans, is very helpful. It's very cathartic. So if you don't have those people in your life, hopefully you do. Hopefully this helps. Obviously, you're listening to us, so you have some level. But really consider interacting with us on Patreon. But also looking around to see if you have a local peña, if that's more your speed. But yeah, we might be here for a minute. I will say, though, on the positive side, FCB Femini are killing it. They kicked off their Champions League defense today against Benfica. They won 5-0, and Asisat Osawala hit a bicycle kick. I saw it in real time. I was watching the game. It may have been doing some other things, may have been working or should have been working, and look over and I see her get up there for the bike and Meg the Keeper, and I was like, oof, it was a really great goal. But, you know, there's some positives. This club is still the club of our dreams, the club that we all love, and you can't really take all that away. It might go away for a while in certain ways, but it's still there in a lot of other places. So also suggest you watch FCB Femini games. But yeah, that's it for me, man. That's it for right now. Have a great rest of your week, Kool-Aids. Enjoy the international break, and hopefully we come back better. Have a good one.
Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.